0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of domestic top flight football's return after a successful international break. Michael Beale's talking budgets, injuries, headbutts and landmark appearances ahead of the visit of Dundee United. Celtic have midfield injury worries for the trip to Ross County, and Barry Robson's added ex-Dundee United boss Liam Fox to his Aberdeen coaching staff. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
Yes, it's time to say adios to Tuesday night and what happened against Spain, and say hola to the return of the SPFL, because there is so much going on this weekend. The gap at the top will be cut from 9 to 6 after Rangers beat Dundee United. That will then send Celtic to Ross County on Sunday for what I would say is their biggest game of the season so far, because it's the one that comes before the you-know-what derby next weekend, and they don't want to do any damage in Dingwall. In other news, Hearts have lost 4 of their last 5. They're going to Kilmarnock, who are desperate for points, as you said, Gordon. Barry Robson's got the Aberdeen job. He'll want to show that was a good idea by winning against St Johnstone in Perth. And everywhere you look, there is mystery and intrigue and tension. And we're also down to single digits in the number of games left to play, which, Kenny, means that we are now officially the business end of the season.
Absolutely, and you're right, Hugh. There's games with the top clubs against the bottom clubs. There's massive games for all three clubs that are going to be looking like to be challenging for third spot in European football, and a massive game in Paisley between St Mirren and Livy for the last spot for the top six, in my opinion. So yeah, it's all to play for. Can't wait for the action to return tomorrow.
And how nice is it to have an international break that we're not all absolutely desperate to see the back of? I mean, I get some people are happy to see domestic football return, but it's nice to not have it totally ruin your last couple of weeks, Kenny Miller.
Listen, it was a wonderful 4 days for Steve Clarke and his team. Steady professional performance against Cyprus, comfortable win, but that on Tuesday night was just simply sensational. From start to finish, the lads were absolutely excellent. To a man, I think it was the 16 players that set foot on that pitch. Worthy winners as well, despite what Rodri's saying and making all the complaints about pitches and diving and this, that and the next thing. They were well beat, accept it and move on.
Even an old cynic like you must have enjoyed it.
There's almost a surreal quality to it all now. You've got McGinny Esther more than halfway towards Dalglish and Law in the all-time goal-scoring record. Scott McTominay, 4 international goals in a matter of minutes against Cyprus and Spain. But I'm glad that we've got the old Undertaker there, old Steve Clarke, who channeled his inner funeral director immediately afterwards by keeping everyone's feet on the ground. And I know that come June in Oslo, when we play Norway, this will all be ignited once again. But we've had our fun now. Let's just keep calm. As Steve Clarke said, 6 points wins you nothing.
01419511025. So come on then, let's hear from you. What is on your mind tonight? For some of you, I feel like I don't even need to float any topics, because I know that, beating Spain or not, there are still loads of you out there that much prefer the domestic stuff and have had to sit and wait patiently over the last 2 weeks for the domestic stuff to return. So now is your chance. Do not let it pass you by. 0141 951 1025. It's like Christmas Eve in here if you're desperate to see the return of the Scottish Premiership. So what is on your mind? If you get tired of international football, this is your chance to get the domestic stuff off your chest. Give us a call and let us know. If you want to get a bit more specific, well, my goodness, there is a lot going on today. Michael Beale did his media conference. He's had a look at the budget for next season. He likes what he sees. He says it's better than what he's seen in the past at Rangers. What do you make of that, Rangers fans? Does that give you some encouragement? No Nicholas Raskin tomorrow, though. Won't start training till next week. There's a certain derby around the corner, in case you hadn't noticed. What's going on there? Alan McGregor is going to get a testimonial, 500th Rangers appearance, if and when he lines up against Dundee United tomorrow. So if any of that interests you, 01419511025. Celtic fans, we also heard from Ange Postecoglou. We're always talking about how big and deep and impressive the squad is, and it might be tested in the midfield area this week. Hatate, Moy, guys like that. Doubts for the trip to Dingwall. Abada as well out injured. Does that concern you at all? Or is there still plenty waiting in the wings? And really, as Hugh so expertly set up at the top of the show, we could go through every single game. Aberdeen fans, you've now got a permanent manager, sort of. Well, he's permanent till the end of the season, certainly. Anyway, Liam Fox has been added to his staff. Kilmarnock fans, is it about time you really made sure you can cash in on that home form against a stuttering Hearts in Mirren Livy? How big's that going to be in the race for top six / Europe? It's all there and it's back. The domestic football is back. 0141 951 1025. And you tend to dive in, Hugh, and I tend to take exception, but I'm not sure I'd argue with your business end of the season declaration. I think we should declare it open as of tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean it when I say that Rangers will beat Dundee United, because if anyone wants to come on and give me a logical case for Dundee United winning at Ibrox, I'll be very happy to hear it. But I prefer to trust my own intelligence and say Rangers will win that game. And that makes Dingwall on Sunday the most important match of the season for Celtic, because if you maintain the 9-point gap, then you have Rangers to come to your place with the prospect of opening up a 12-point lead, at which point nobody argues over who wins the league title. If you do not win in Dingwall, then you leave a chink of light for Rangers going to Celtic Park on the 8th of April. So that sequence of games, Ibrox, Dingwall, fascinating.
We're happy with that. Business end of the season officially open, ribbon cut.
Absolutely. When it gets down to single digits, I think so, yeah. And I think with what's coming probably over this weekend and then moving into next weekend, it can definitely be viewed upon as a business end of the season. Cup semi-finals on the horizon as well.
April could be properly season defining for lots of teams, but if you think Rangers in particular, you either get the chance to put a bit of pressure on Celtic and make sure you're still in the hunt with silverware, or you're hunt for silverware is officially over. You know, that's the reality of April. So all this one game at a time nonsense, we can leave that to managers, but that's the reality, isn't it?
It is the reality, and it's been that way for even before April. You know, we're looking at this is going to be a really big month. As soon as those two names came out the hat in that semi-final on April the 30th, it was going to be a massive month for Michael Beale and Rangers, with the opportunity to maybe right the wrongs of the cup final on next week, and then you've got that huge game at the end of the month. Three Old Firm games left between now and the end of the season, and vitally important for Rangers.
Let's bring in Paul, who is a Celtic fan on the line. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Hey, hi Gordon, hi Kenny, hi Hugh.
Hello.
It's a wee bit about the Scotland game during the week, and a bit about, obviously, enchantment, a bit to get the league stuff back in the cards. I'm by no means a big Scotland fan. I'm no big international football fan at all. So I wouldn't say it's an outsider looking in, but I only managed to see the second half of the Scotland game the other night. But what I did see, I was so impressed. So impressed that the way they played the game. And I don't know if you remember, after Celtic played Real Madrid, Gordon, I said that Callum McGregor I think I said when Luka Modric came off, you could have put Callum McGregor in, you could have substituted him, and I get scoffed at a wee bit, right? But the performance of Callum McGregor, not only Callum McGregor, but the performance of Callum McGregor in that second half, Callum McGregor could play in almost any team in the world, the job he does. He's so good at it, right? There's a good tier of Scotland players as well. I thought Kieran Tierney was outstanding. Maybe guys are no flash. McTominay as well, I think he takes a bit of abuse. I think people are surprised about he doesn't get a lot of game time at Man United. But Spain are one of the top teams in the world. Nobody looked out of place. Big Dykes was a handful. I think we're downing ourselves too much. But especially Callum McGregor. Callum McGregor could play in any team in the world and be comfortable.
Is that a I mean, Hugh, we can now spend now until 8 o'clock arguing whether that exact assessment's true or not, and I don't think that's necessarily the point. Is that also a, you know, Paul's a Celtic fan, he can take great pride from it. Is it also good for us that in amongst the Robertsons and the Tierneys and the McTominays that you're mixing it with Spain from players that do play in the Scottish Premiership as well?
Without doubt, because first of all, John McGinn got all the headlines because he went into the 16 goal mark and he's only two behind Kenny Miller, and you know, he's more than halfway towards Dalgleishan Law. And then it became about Scott McTominay, another player from the English Premier League. It's good that Callum McGregor is there to uphold the SPFL, and in a season in which people like Kyogo and Reo Hatate are early front runners for Player of the Year, Callum McGregor must be on that list as well. He doesn't get the Kyogo goals, he doesn't have that kind of creative genius that Reo Hatate has, but he is a top player, and immense credit to him that he upholds the SPFL, upholds Celtic, and Celtic will rely very heavily on Callum McGregor between now and the end of the season, beginning in Dingwall on Sunday, when there are so many variables there for Ange Postecoglou due to injury.
Paul, you'll be pleased to know you think along the same lines as your manager, Ange Postecoglou. He says the club take great pride and belief from captain Callum McGregor's role in that game the other night and the two games overall, hoping of course he can take it into the remainder of the season.
I know how much it means to him to play for his country, and you know, as much as he's obviously the captain of our club and the leader of our club, he just cherishes his national team representation, and you know, it was a big night for him, and it was a big night for the team, you know, for the whole nation, I guess. I don't think there's any doubt Callum can perform at those levels, but you know, I think for him to do it with his national team is special. So you take great pride in that, and we take great pride as a football club as well, because as I said, he's our leader and he represents us, you know, on the national stage. And yeah, I thought he was outstanding in both games. You know, played every minute of both games, and you saw in the last couple of minutes of the second game that, you know, he just has this real ability and determination to get everything, every ounce out of his body, and you know, that's what he does every time he plays.
Listen, McGregor, I've been a huge fan of him for a long time. Brilliant football player, I've said it all along. He's the heartbeat of the Celtic team. Yes, he goes a little bit understated because of the Jotas, the Hatates, the Kyogos, even the Giakoumakises, the guys that are at the top end of the pitch getting the goals. But he's taken over that mantle for Scott Brown and just taken it in his stride. He's been absolutely outstanding for club and country all season. And you're right, Hugh, he probably should be maybe in that three or four players that are going to be up there at the end of season awards, probably alongside a couple of his teammates. But yeah, I mean, to a man, on Tuesday night, the lads were absolutely sensational. And he was one of the guys, like you say, the energy and the desire to go and take the ball the length of the pitch and slip the pass to go and potentially give us an opportunity to go 3-0 up against Spain was great. But he's a wonderful player. Celtic is, I mean, they're lucky to have him. You know that they are, because he's their driving force. And as much as he is understated, he's probably still their best player, in my opinion. Most important player, anyway.
Yeah, it's probably a touch early, 31st of March, for a proper Player of the Year debate, and gets teeth stuck into that in the next few weeks. But if he's not in that discussion, Kenny, is it because it's almost like it's become expected? You know, the bar's just set and you just know he's going to be there. I mean, for instance, across that midfield, I think he was the only midfielder, was he, that played the 180 minutes for Scotland as well. He's just always there and just plays, and it's just always to a particular level. Is that what everyone's sort of come to expect now?
I can't actually think of him having ever a bad game, to be honest with you. And it shows you the value to that and the belief that Steve Clarke's got in him to play him in every single minute, particularly even at the end of a game where you could have thought, you know what, we're winning, we're quite comfortable, look at the players we've got sitting on the bench here that could come on and maybe do a similar job, just to give him a wee 10-15 minutes of rest. But no, he keeps him on that park. He knows how important he is. It's the same for Celtic. Just a wonderful player, and like I say, he's getting to that stage now in his career at 29. Like, big surprise for me is that maybe a Brendan Rodgers never came and took him when he left, when he went to Leicester. But I think at 29 now, you might see him see his career out at Celtic.
I mean, Paul, look, he's going to play a key role going forward for Celtic anyway. I think that's blatantly obvious. I was just wondering, with Hatate and Moy out looking like it this weekend, if he's got somehow an even extra responsibility to make sure that midfield continues to tick at the weekend.
I think Gordon, I think everybody knows their jobs, I think, right across the squad, and they know he's a captain. He's changed his game over the years. I mean, I remember when Brendan Rodgers was there, he scored a barload of goals. He's kind of stepped back now, and he does all the tidy work. But that run at the end of the Scotland game just shows you the ability he's got and the energy. We're going about the energy that the Japanese boys have got. Unbelievable. And that's unbelievable. But Callum McGregor's fitness levels and energy is unbelievable as well. But again, we kind of, I think it's a Scottish thing. We think if we just get used to it, and then when other guys come in. But he's by far Celtic's best consistent player. He's not the Kyogo, he's not the goal machine stuff, but he's the guy that you worry if he's not playing, you think, oh God, who's got to step in? He's a class act.
Yeah, he like I said to John there, he'll obviously play this weekend, and he'll play a main role because he always does anyway, but he just might not quite have the same supporting cast. And Hatate and Moy look like they'll both miss out.
Well, you're looking at Matt O'Reilly, you're looking at David Turnbull, who after all cost Celtic millions of pounds to bring to the club.
Iwata, yeah.
I cannot underestimate the importance of the game in Dingwall, because I am firmly of the belief that Rangers will beat Dundee United. That's the gap down to six. Where Celtic to slip up in Dingwall, unlikely though it may be from this distance, where Celtic to slip up in Dingwall, it turns the Old Firm game at Celtic Park a week tomorrow on its head. And Celtic would rather go to the Highlands, get the 3 points, and face Rangers feeling good about themselves.
Thanks, Paul. Let's bring in John. What do you think, John?
So, see, I've been listening to you, Kevin, all season, and I've got a nickname for you. It's
Keep it clean.
It's Hugh Goldflash. It's Hugh Goldflash. That's what I call you. I've heard them about 4 or 5 times this season. Celtic's going to drop points here. Celtic's going to drop points next minute. Goldflash. Celtic 1-1, nothing, or 2-1. Now, he's always on about Celtic's going to drop points on Sunday, and Rangers are going to run over the top of Dundee United and things like that. He's been doing that all season. We will win it Dingwall on Sunday, and we will beat the Rangers, and we'll be champions in a couple of weeks.
I'm just amazed John thinks it's only 4 or 5 times you've done it this season. You're getting off lightly, I must say.
Yeah, that's entertainment,
the
John.
The case for your defence, are you being overly... Because, look, I heard the way you word it. Obviously, you're saying, you know, if Celtic drop points. Yeah. But how small is that if? They just tend to be so efficient, don't they? In Ross County, you know, as tough as Dingwall can be, and we bang on about the journey and the kick-off time, I mean, I assume they are 11th for a reason.
Without doubt. It's a horrible place to go, though. In the past, the famous Anthony Ralston goal midweek game there. I firmly believe Rangers will beat Dundee United, and I would invite John to tell me that that's wrong. Then I believe it is the most important game of the season, because Celtic want to win in Dingwall and want to invite Rangers to their ground the following weekend, knowing that the pressure will be all on Michael Beale, with no Rangers fans inside the ground, Celtic 9 points clear, the possibility of a double digit lead at which point that's the league over. So it is the most important game of the season for Celtic, because Rangers will beat Dundee United. But that is not to say Celtic will lose it. I'm simply saying it then becomes the most important game of the season,
because it's the next one, though. Because you could say the game that put Celtic 9 points clear was the most important. So let's not argue about that for too much longer, given that we're a bit late for the travel already. Celtic have won 4-1 and 3-1 in Dingwall this season, Kenny. Don't get me wrong, within those games they've not had it all their own way. I think the first league meeting, it was 1-1 till about 5 minutes to go or something. But you know, this team just sort of keeps on finding a way, doesn't it? And those midfield absences, I'm sure that you'd rather that wasn't the case if you were Ange Postecoglou, but will he have full faith in whatever's to come in and take their place?
Hughes just gave you the list of names that are going to probably come in. It's going to be O'Reilly, it could be Turnbull. I mean, we've not seen a lot of Turnbull obviously since his injury, and obviously the form of the guys that are in front of him. But O'Reilly's been a brilliant player and a brilliant signing for Celtic since he's came in, so he'll just step in and fill that void no problem. And I would expect probably Turnbull to go. I mean, Turnbull plays, he creates, he scores. It's probably adds something maybe to that midfield as well in a forward sense. So it's like for like, and it's like John says, they know their jobs. When they come in, they've got a chance now to get a shot in what is going to be a massive game the following week.
Any fuss, John, attached to Moy, Hitati, Abada being out, or comfortable enough?
No, the players just went out, the players just brought in, stepped up to the mark. Does you believe in shocks and stuff? Did you ever put a coupon on? Yeah, Scotland during the week, beat Spain. Neither would have thought that Scotland would have beat Spain during the week. Who's to say Dundee and I don't get a draw at Ibrox and Celtic?
He'll just apply that logic to Ross County and Celtic though, John, which you've come on to defend. So there we are, 01419511025. Very late for the travel, but it means you could call right now, and please do. Rangers fans, what are you thinking? Michael Beale says he's impressed with his budget for next season. It's Alan McGregor's 500th game for Rangers tomorrow. Nicholas Raskin's out injured though. Will he make the Celtic game? That's going to be the big question. Get your calls in right now, please.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters. The savings are stacked at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to $800 store-wide on top brands you know and trust. Plus, buy one, get one free deals so you can upgrade sleep for your entire family. And get a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. With 0% interest financing and free delivery available, getting better sleep has never been easier. And with our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you'll always know you got the best deal. Save big today at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com or a location near you.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One, Super Scoreboard.
It's back. Domestic football is back. It's not been a bad international break, I'm sure you'll agree, but Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here, and they are very much looking forward to 5 big games in the Premiership tomorrow, a huge one on Sunday. We've even got Championship action tonight, so it's back with a bang. And with that, we're looking for you to get in touch, please. 01419511025. Let's hear from Michael Beale. He was also on media duty today, covered a number of topics, by the way, Rangers fans, so it's really up to you, take your pick. He was speaking about the budget for next season, says, you know, he likes it, it's a bigger budget than what he's seen for Rangers managers in the past. He was speaking about Nicholas Raskin injured tomorrow, won't start training till next week. How much of a doubt would that leave with Celtic in mind round the corner? Ryan Jack, of course, was off playing for Scotland. He had his say on the incident at the end of the women's game on Monday. And also Alan McGregor. So if any of them take your fancy, give us a call right now. But Alan McGregor will reach 500 Rangers appearances tomorrow against Dundee United. He'll become the first player since Ali McCoist to hit that landmark, which will be way back in the 90s now. And this afternoon, Rangers have announced that they will give him a testimonial match against Newcastle United on the 18th of July. Get your thoughts in. These are the thoughts of the manager.
Well, Alan McGregor's contribution to Rangers over two spells has been absolutely huge. You know, he plays tomorrow and he gets to 500 appearances, and you know, the trophies that he's won and just some of the performances that he's put in over the years have been fantastic. There's too many big saves to name, but I remember one away at Slavia Prague in particular in the time I worked with him, which was an unbelievable save in the Europa League. But again, this is someone that's first in the morning, generally is first in the morning. He's got a lot of rituals he goes through. And I'm hoping that the younger players in and around him, which they're all younger than him, Alan, it rubs off on them, because there's no secrets really. When you see people like him and Stephen Davis and the longevity they've had in their careers at a high level, not just longevity at a high level, the secrets are the way that they prepare and look after themselves before getting on the pitch, and the way they recover. And we've been very fortunate to have those two players in around the club for a number of years.
Let's bring in Dominic, who's a Rangers fan. Take it away, Dominic.
I think I've seen the producer there, Gordon. I think that it's a terrific achievement for McGregor to tomorrow make his 500 appearance. But I've obviously plus the testimonial come in the summer that's been announced. But I wouldn't, Kenny will know, I hope he can give us something, but I wouldn't rule him out of maybe possibly one more year, because if Craig Gordon's going to be there, I don't see why he can't.
Well, that will be one of the questions between now and the end of the season. You got any exclusive news for Dominic on the line?
No, yeah, maybe in a few weeks we might be able to get a hold of that for you, Dominic. No, but I agree with you. I've said that, I've been quite vocal in the opinion that if he wants to continue, then absolutely I would have him around the building again for another year. And it's not just about everything that goes along with being a more experienced player and a player who's done it and seen it and done it over the years at Rangers by winning and setting these standards, his daily habits, everything that Michael Beale was just alluding to there. Is he still the best goalkeeper in the building? You know, until you bring somebody else that can take the gloves off him, then I would be very, very reluctant to let him go.
What would that look like? Would you still keep him around if there was an obvious number one signed in the summer? Would you still just do that, or given it's 500 games, it's testimonial, does Alan McGregor bow out, you know, as number one and then leave it there?
You know what, I think it's down to him. I know there was obviously a disappointment at the start of the season when it looked like John McLaughlin had been given the number one, but I think if those conversations are had at the end of the season before any contract signed to allow him to what his position is going to be, it allows him to then make a decision, and I think he's earned that right. I really do. So it's but until someone comes in there, like I said, until someone comes in, it's going to be better and fill those gloves, then I think it's a no-brainer to keep him.
Hugh is a man who's no stranger to being experienced, shall we say, in and around the place. What's your take on the 500 appearances, the testimonial and the future?
I have to believe that Alan McGregor had 500 on his mind when we were all thinking that the cup final appearance against Hearts was the farewell. He had 500 on his mind and knew it wouldn't be the farewell. I look at the testimonial date, which is the 18th of July against Newcastle, and I'm thinking that's on the cusp of the new season. Is he going to hang around? As Kenny said, until you sign a better goalkeeper, then he's required. It would be a stretch, but I see no reason why he couldn't do one last season beyond this one and the 500 game landmark. I see no reason why he couldn't have one more season.
I think as well, that's something that will feed into it. It might actually depend on, I mean, look at the cup final last year. It was this big thing. He's going to come on, and obviously John McLaughlin had played the game, and you throw him on for a couple of minutes at the end because it might be his farewell game, you know. And I still always had a feeling that it wouldn't be. I think if Rangers can go and win the cup this year, that might actually play a part in this thing. But I know something that will be on his mind is he'll want to win that league back. You know, he'll want to bow out in a way that I think is fitting to him. And I think if he doesn't and they end up with no silverware to the end of the season, will he want to finish on that note? Yeah. I know he won't. Yeah. But
can you spin that both ways? Because he'd have wanted to win it back last year. You then have two more cracks at it and it's not worked out. We know he's gone on for a long time, but at some point you would then need to say, I've given it a go.
Of course he would have, but I just think at this moment in time, age is just a number. You've got to understand that when you've played and you look after yourself. Michael's talking about he's been in early, he's got his routine, and he's got his things that he worked on, and he's ready and he's prepared and recover right. So I think he has got another year in him, but you know what, only he knows how he feels, and he'll be the one that'll make that call at the end of the
season. You've got to sometimes appreciate the company you're in. Kenny Miller played till he was goodness knows what age. Hugh Keevans is still kicking the super score board ball at his age, so they're very much on the side of backing the experienced guys, which is understandable. Dominic, how's his form been this season? Would you be comfortable in being Rangers number one next season, or are you talking about still good to have experience around the place and all that?
Well, God, there's a bit of both, to be honest. I thought, for me, I would still have him around, because I've been on his road through this season, saying that be quite happy with him to stay, because he's a lot better than McLaughlin, although you've got sometimes the argument with the cross balls scenario. But I think that some of the games he's maybe had, he's been a few mistakes, but for the likes of going back to the game at Anfield against Liverpool, I thought he was outstanding. And then you've also, if you go back to probably one of his career highlights, was Kenny will know, or well, Hugh as well, when on the road to the UEFA Cup final, It was the save he made. It was, I think it was against Fiorentina. They palmed the ball straight on at the bar. He came down.
I think Werder Bremen, wasn't it, that one? Back in the day, Kenny. Yeah,
yep, that was the one. Yeah.
I mean, Michael Beale said today he will, and I think that, I don't want to like hang him on the word, but he will give Robbie McCrory a chance this season once he's fit enough. He's been out injured, but he trained today. He's sort of back, and he'll give him a chance to see what he can do.
Is that,
I don't know when that'll be, Hugh, because we're talking about business end, yeah, and important games. But I don't know, maybe once it becomes completely clear, if the league gets, you know, undeniably beyond Rangers, if it's not already, maybe it comes at that point.
Rangers have 11 games maximum. If they beat Celtic in the semi-final, they then get into the cup final. That would give them 11 games. If they don't beat Celtic, it's 10 games. We always talk about sample sizes. I'm not sure that's a sample size that is good enough for McCrory to make an impression on the manager. So that one's a complicated situation. I take on board what Kenny Miller said there about Alan McGregor and the possibility of the title next season. But you would have to know how this season ended, how he felt physically and mentally. So he's got another season in him, for sure. Whether he wants to do it is for him to tell us.
Thank you to Dominic. Let's go to the phones again and bring in Andy and get his thoughts. Andy, take it away.
Hi there. I hope you're all right, panel.
Good, thank you.
Good, good. So, yeah, it's just echoing a lot of the kind of things you were talking about just now about McGregor and whether, you know, he should stay on for another year. Of course, it is down to him at the end of the day what he'd like to do. I've said in the past that I think, especially in today's day and age, where, you know, the nutrition, sports science, and the way players look after themselves, that goalkeepers, especially the good goalkeepers at a top level, can keep going probably till they're about 45. So not having to do all the running around that the outfield players do. But I've said this before, I think you've got the issue is that even if we go after another number one to replace him, it's really Rangers, unless Alan, you just decided, no, this is my last season, it would be foolish of Rangers to let him go, because he'd be the good as a backup. Because one, you can have a dud player coming in who you think is going to be your number one, or the player could get injured, and then you've let go somebody who you know could have been that perfect backup, as he's kind of shown, you know, when he's you know shown that McLaughlin was not the right number one.
So you definitely think, Andy, it's going to be, it's Alan McGregor's choice. That's the very least. You don't think there's any way that Michael Beale and Ross Wilson say thank you very much for your service, it's been wonderful, here's the testimonial, and we leave it there? You think it's definitely Alan McGregor's call?
I would think so, because if you look at he's been given another year's extension, with them looking at the, you know, McLaughlin has been the number one and McGregor has been the backup. And what's happened this season, he's ended up to the number one, remained the number one. The other thing, the question, I don't know whether the panel will have some more kind of be more clued up on this, but I know that he has got a kind of contract with a kind of coaching role. So, I mean, I don't know how quickly you could, or whether how it works if you are employed by Rangers. And say there was some sort of injury or reason that they thought, right, we need to make Alan, if you're willing to play again, would you, like, how easy it would be to go from being a coach to a player?
Michael Beale was asked today about a coaching role, and he said again that, you know, that's up to Alan. He said you can't force that on people, and he said he likes to play a lot of golf. So I don't know if that's something that he would, it would take up at this moment.
He's just not very good at golf, to be fair. Beat him every time.
Not playing enough.
No, he's not playing enough. But listen, he'll be focused fully on his job. But again, going for that coach situation, what I do know is that when you get to that age, you need to be training. Yeah. When you stop and you
can't
just come
out
back
cold
in
storage,
it. No,
and
absolutely
emergencies.
Not. I mean, I think it's a decision I'll make, but I think Michael and Ross, well, more Michael, because he's the manager, he's the one that's going to, he's going to be picking the team. If he's happy to have him as his number one next year, is that? But these conversations need to be had, and Alan needs to know exactly what's his role going to look like, and then he can make an informed decision, because I don't think that happened towards the end of last season, and it then led to him not being the number one, then obviously regaining it, like Andy says. But I mean, time will tell. He'll be fully focused on no golf, by the way. He'll be fully focused on trying to close this gap a little bit between in the next nine games, and obviously retaining the Scottish
Cup. He doesn't do it often, but Michael Beale did keep his cards close to his chest today. He was asked about contracts because he'd said previously international break will be a chance to sit down, and he said they have, discussions have been ongoing with the out of contract players, but he was saying nothing more on the subject for now. So we'll see. Thank you, Andy. 01419511025. It's a good time to call whilst we get some travel. You could be on the phone and we'll try and get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here, so is Hugh Keevans, and with every passing caller we edge ever closer to the return of the Scottish Premiership. It's been a good week, don't get me wrong. It's nice to look back on some encouraging, and I think that's an understatement, performances and results for Scotland, but cannot wait for this business end of the season, as Hugh Keevans declared it at the top of the show. We were just talking there about Alan McGregor, 500th appearance tomorrow. Does he stay? Does he go at the end of the season? A testimonial's been announced. That seems to have stirred up a bit of debate, if you want to keep that going. A number of topics covered by Michael Beale today. Let's go specifically on tomorrow. No Nicholas Raskin. What does that mean going forward? Because in case you've not heard, there's a big game just round the corner after Dundee United.
We'll be missing Nico Raskin still. He returns to training at the start of next week, so he's racing ahead with his rehab, but it's just too early for him. Young Leon King still missing. And I think that's it. I think everyone else is available yet. Yeah, it was an issue that came up within the 24 hours before the Motherwell game. A problem with his thigh, and he's obviously had a couple of weeks now, but he's still not ready. He's been out doing some light jogging and stuff. He's telling me he's ready to train on Monday, so we'll see on Monday.
On one hand, player is out for another couple of days and he'll be back training at the start of next week. Is no big deal. On the other hand, Kenny, Rangers fans everywhere across the globe are saying, we've seen this movie before. What is going on? This guy's just in the building as well. Tell me he'll be back, you know, at the original time frame. So he missed the Motherwell game. He will miss tomorrow. And then it's a question mark over Celtic, I guess.
It is, and I think there was there no noises when he was going after the Motherwell that would be fit to play with the Belgium 21s as well. So clearly there's been a bigger issue than what was first thought. It's again probably like the Hatate and the Moy and the Abada scenario on the other side of the city. It's probably best that you don't rush him back for this game if you've got, obviously, with this huge game coming up next week. So you're hoping he's fit, because there was a lot of chats around Raskin leading into the cup final. Would he play? Would he not play? He obviously never. But then he's become an important player in that midfield for Rangers since that cup final.
Because without going all Hugh Keevans, the doomsday scenario is not that unrealistic, where, okay, he's aiming for Monday, but that just might become Tuesday, which is not that different, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then that doesn't quite go to plan, and all of a sudden Saturday becomes, or is it Sunday, sorry, becomes, yeah, too far. That's not that unrealistic. And of course, look, it might be no fuss, but I go back to Rangers fans, or the ones that phone in here are battle scarred by this stuff this season.
But you've also got the situation where now, tomorrow, somebody's got the jersey. You know, they've got the jersey, they've got a chance, and in that midfield area, it's the most competitive area of the Rangers team. You know, so when you go back to that cup final, there was a midfield three of Lundstrom, Kamara and Tillman. Well, the next week, those three were out, and the next three were in of Jack, Raskin and Cantwell. So, and they were playing for a number of weeks together, and it led to that fantastic performance away at Easter Road when it was those three in midfield. So it's a really competitive area. So these guys that are playing tomorrow have got the jersey. They'll be wanting to play, there's no doubt about it. By the way, we're not even talking about Hadjis and Scotty Arfield's into that equation either. It's a really, really big decision for Michael going into this. He'll want everybody available, but it's a welcome headache for him going into that game.
It was just the one, Hugh, was. I mean, how many, what did we have, about 350 calls about the absence of Nicholas Raskin in the last game? Of course, nobody knows what difference it would have made, but as Kenny says, straight after it, he was in the team and the Rangers fans liked it. So they were clearly banking on at least getting to see him against Celtic next week.
I hate injury stories, and I always have done, because how do any of us know how far or how close Raskin is to playing against Celtic on the 8th of April? We know he's not playing tomorrow. How do any of us know how far away or how close Rio Hatate or Aaron Moy are to playing in that game either? But you just don't know. And managers update you in their own peculiar way. They never come out and give you a categorical assurance that a player will be fit. They hum and haw. So I don't know if he'll play against Celtic. And I don't know if Hatate will play for Celtic.
That's I'm not asking you to know, but no. I think you would acknowledge the Rangers fans would be very keen, and we'll leave it at that, probably more than that, but very keen to have him available.
Without doubt. I mean, it was a black mark against Michael Beale's name when he started the Viaplay Cup final against Celtic without Todd Cantwell and without Nico Raskin. And it was held against him when Celtic won the Cup. So if you had a poll of the Rangers fans right now, they would hope that Raskin would play against Celtic.
Here's one that just kind of came up. I was at Michael Beale's press conference working today, and it kind of came up at the end amongst a number of topics, but quite a detailed answer, and I think one lots of people would be interested in, when he spoke about his budget for next season. Now, he's obviously, he knows the current budget, he knows what the budget was under Steven Gerrard, and he's encouraged with what he's got to work with in the summer.
There's no restrictions on budget. There is money to spend in the summer. It's a good amount, I think, for a Rangers manager compared to what I've seen in previous years. So I think I'm really, really positive about the summer. But at the moment, we're still playing in this season. There's things to play for. I appreciate that everyone wants us to communicate outwards which players we're signing, which players are going to be here. It doesn't work like that. We've got to get this season played first. And 10 games is a fifth of a season still to play. We've got big games, as you've all just mentioned to me there. So being respectful to everyone and the players inside, you keep this thing in for a minute, but the work is a long way down the road. You know, I get called regularly by different agents proposing players, but I'm a long way down the road with my thinking and with Ross and the club. We're really aligned on the same page. And I suppose there's no need to go for one of us, because you're going for all of us, because we're all aligned.
Nobody knows exactly what that will transpire to be. No. But if you were a Rangers fan at this point, at this early stage, you might be pleasantly surprised to hear that. Is that how you would sum it up?
I would say two things to you, Gordon. One is that Michael Beale really loves talking about budgets. And number two, he may have a very handsome sum of money. And again, only he knows. But it's how you spend it.
Absolutely.
You could have 100 million. If you don't spend it wisely, then you've frittered away 100 million. So he says he's well down the road and you must take him at his word. Well, that is concerned. There'll be no belated dramas in the transfer window. If you're well down the road at the end of March, then presumably they'll be in not long after this season has ended. But as I say, the bottom line here is, you may have the money, how wisely do you spend it?
That's so true, Kenny. But this is the first part, isn't it? The first part is how much have you got, and then the second part is how are you going to use it. And sometimes the answer to the first part is not what you want to hear. So is this Michael Beale today suggesting that first bit's at least to his satisfaction, by the sounds of it?
Well, he seems happy. You know, he did make a statement a couple of weeks ago about the team with the biggest budget and who spends the most money normally wins and things. So clearly he's happy now after seeing what he's got to work with. Again, what does that mean? Is it wages, budget? It sounded like there might be money to spend in terms of transfer fees to bring new recruits in, which I would expect that anyway. I would expect him to be well down the road with some targets as well. But now when you know what you've got and you've not got to play with, then you can now work out and try and fit in all the targets you need for the positions that you want to strengthen.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big night on Beat the Pundit, because usually you two need to salvage something for your colleagues because they've let you down and they've been held to a 2-2 draw in the previous four nights. But tonight, I think we're staring at a clean sweep for the pundits, and I don't like that at all. I must admit, I'm always team listener on this particular competition, and we need something special tonight. We cannot have a whitewash this week for the pundits. So if you are the contestant to change that, now is the time to call us, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7 o'clock, so be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not get in touch? We are here for another hour. You can either continue the theme of the discussion before the news, or you can move on. We were hearing from some Celtic fans full of praise for Callum McGregor, his role for Scotland, hoping he can continue that at his club side for the remainder of the season. He might have a different midfield beside him, because Hatate and Moy, it looked like they're out of the trip to Ross County. There was a bit of a debate about Alan McGregor. Should he stay? Should he go? This is because he racks up his 500th Rangers appearance tomorrow, and it's been announced he'll get a testimonial. Michael Beale on there just before the news. He's very happy by the sounds of it with his budget for next season. So what do you think that means? Pick up the phone and let us know. And if you want to move it all on, then you choose. We'll hear more from Ange Postecoglou ahead of the trip to Ross County. Big weekend really across the board, so you can take your pick. Get that phone call in right now, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's a big night, 4 out of 4 for the pundits this week. Mark Wilson even had time to incorrectly guess that Georgios Samaras played for Greece at the weekend. They asked which former Celtic player played for Greece at the weekend. It was obviously Giakoumakis. He's plucked Samaras from who knows where and still managed to win. That's been the standard this week. So Lewis and Airdrie, we need a victory tonight. Are you capable?
No.
Oh, brilliant. That's great. Well, let's be filled with so much confidence. Lewis, look, Scotland beat Spain this week. This could be a week of shocks. You could be the man.
That's true, aye.
Lewis against Senior Keevans. It's entirely possible.
I started this run on Monday night when I was here with the man that my wife knows as Andy Haldane.
Is that what she called him?
Yeah. Is that Andy Haldane? She said.
I like that. That might stick. Heads it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails it'll be Kenny Miller. And it's tails. It's Kenny up against Lewis from Airdrie. So what we'll do here is give Kenny some Clyde 2 to listen to. I'll turn it up extra loud so that he can't hear us tonight, Lewis. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but to recap quickly, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, pass if you don't know and move on, okay?
Perfect.
Right, top man, 30 seconds then, starting now. Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Kilmarnock.
Name any side Robbie McCrory has played with on loan from Rangers.
One. Oh, name anything?
Yep. Pass. Which Aberdeen player scored for North Macedonia on Monday?
Big striker, Medjugorje.
Who are the only Scottish Premiership team who's finished bottom six in each of the last three seasons? Which former Celtic manager is the head coach of Sunderland currently?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Kenny Miller. Kenny, can you hear us?
Sure can.
Some tricky ones in here. Mm-hmm. Ready? Let's go. Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Pass.
Name any side that Robbie McCrory has played with on loan from Kuna Rangers. South. Which Aberdeen player scored for North Macedonia on Monday?
Bjorkski.
Who are the only Scottish Premiership team who's finished bottom six in each of the last three seasons?
St Johnstone.
Which former Celtic manager is the current head coach of Sunderland?
Tony Mowbray.
How many Scottish teams has John McGinn played for?
Two.
Who's the only current Rangers player who's received a full cap for the USA?
Tillman.
Okay. What do we think, Lewis?
That's embarrassing for me.
Lewis, I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. I mean, I can't promise you've done enough to win, but you pulled one out the bag that I was mightily impressed with. Ross County were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup. I must admit, that type of question, I think that's so tough to recall.
And at Celtic Park.
I mean, we are going back like 2.5 years, to be fair. They've had a good run in the cup. So 0-0. I think Lewis misheard the question, which gave a slight advantage to Kenny, but you still had to get it right. Robbie McCrory has played on loan Livy, Queen of the South, Morton and Berwick Rangers. So Kenny goes 1-0 in front. I wasn't really convinced by either of you with your pronunciation, but I'll give you Miovsky. Did you call him Biovsky?
No, Miovsky.
And Lewis.
Unless it was Bojan Miovsky, Biovsky just into the one word. But Lewis, it was Miovsky.
Lewis kind of got there. I'm giving him it anyway.
You would do.
It's like Majovsky. Listen, it's Friday night. We're giving him it. So it's 2-1 to Kenny. I don't know where you got this from, Lewis, if this was a guess or not, but the only Premiership team who's finished bottom six in the last three seasons is St Mirren. Was it a guess, Lewis? Say no.
No.
You're kind of quite convincing there. So we're level at this point, and this is where it goes a bit more difficult for Lewis, because Tony Mowbray is the head coach of Sunderland, so Kenny goes one in front, and then that's where Lewis's questions end. And Kenny knew McGinn had played for two, St Mirren and Hibs, and he knew that Tillman had been capped for the USA. So it's a 5 for Kenny Miller, it's a 2 for Lewis, and it is a clean sweep for the pundits this week. Hard lines, Lewis.
It was worth an effort.
Thank you to Lewis and Airdrie. Kenny Miller's been hanging out with Hugh Keevans too long. He's actually doing a goal celebration.
Was the
in
guns?
The studio.
Got the guns.
Is that
that
kind of Drogba look? Was that his?
That was
like
the Drogba.
I like that. Yeah. 0141951 1025. There we go. You're not as daft as everyone says.
Yeah. You've got to get the knack of pointing to M&S on the back of your cardigan, though.
Listen, they all count, and the better the goal celebration, the happier I am on a Friday night. But I must admit, I would have preferred at least one on the board for the listeners this week. Hopefully we can do that next week. So get studying over the weekend and give us a call back at the same time on Monday night, just before 7 o'clock. I give you the shout and you come on here. Producer Chris will be happy. It means we're not giving away any signed balls this week. I think the budget's creaking, I must admit.
It's always a bad sign, actually, when the balls actually come out to get re-signed again.
How many are in front of you, actually?
There's quite a few. I think. 2, 4, 6, 9.
Yeah, it's not been a vintage period, but they're safe this week. Safe. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou, shall we? We heard from him on the subject of Callum McGregor earlier, and we were about to bring in John and Clyde Bank there, but we can't get you for some reason. John, you've just disappeared, so give us a call back if you are still listening. Ange Postecoglou says he wants the team to finish with their best performances yet this season, even though they've been almost perfect in 2023 so far.
We want to finish the season strong, as we did last year. We're our best form, you know, when we're at our strongest at this time of the year. So, that's been the plan all along. I think, you know, if you look sort of the first stretch of games and then up post World Cup, I think the middle section, we were stronger than we were in the first section. And the plan is now hopefully to be stronger in this third section, the final section. Now, that's all theory. It's still got to come down to the practicalities of doing it. But from, you know, the players' perspective, as I said, this is the first day we sort of had them back, but you know, they're ready to go. They understand what needs to be done between now and the end of the year, and beginning with Sunday is to put in a strong performance and finish the season in the manner we want to. Well, I guess we're almost perfect in that last sort of stretch of games. So it doesn't mean you can't improve. The results can be the same, but yeah, the performances can be stronger, and that's what we're trying to do.
I mean, it would be pretty ominous for everyone else if Celtic could find another level between now and the end of the season, Kenny. Of course, they might. They may well do, but like I said, if there's room for that and they manage it, then they'll surely romp everything.
Yeah, it'll be tough to stop, because at the moment, in the current form that they're in, and the form they've showed since Angers came in, effectively, as a juggernaut moving forward at the moment, so it's going to be tough to stop. And if they do go up a few levels and they get stronger in this last third of the season, last quarter of the season, then it is going to be ominous.
They're 7 goals away from 100 in the league, and they have 9 matches left to play. They are on 82 points at the moment. With those 9 matches left to play, there is the potential for a record-breaking 109 points. That's the grand finale to end all grand finales. But they have to start off by beating Ross County in Dingwall at the end of that international break. 12 o'clock kickoff in the Highlands. They've got to come back as if nothing has taken place over the last 2 weeks. You know, they went out on the high of the late goals against Hibs at Celtic Park. They have to pick up where they left off. But look at that. 7 goals off 100. Lots of games to play. And potentially, if they remained unbeaten, 109 points. Those are the targets.
I mean, the goals tally, Kenny, it speaks for itself if you look at the league table. But even as that snapshot, if you like, when Ange Postecoglou is talking about the last sort of section of games, in the last 12 matches, Celtic have only scored fewer than three in two of them. One was the cup final against Rangers, of course. One was a 2-0 win at Tannadice. And in the other 10 of the last 12, they've scored at least three, but quite often four and five within that. The goals tally is remarkable. Obviously, you can win a league with various different goals tallies, but it's just relentless, isn't it?
It is, and it's the way that they've set up since Ange came in. They want to play this attacking brand of football. They want to score a lot of goals. They want to play fast. They want to create a lot of chances. They've then put players into the team and into the positions to achieve that. So it's been a really impressive season for Ange and his team so far. Like he says, he wants to go and make sure they finish it off. There's still job to be done. There's still games to be won to make sure that league title's retained. And then they've got, like we've talked about it already, the massive game at the end of this month, the semi-final, which could potentially lead to a treble. It's up to Rangers to stop it.
Kyogo has had a fortnight's rest, which will do him the world of good. You would imagine that Jota would play on Sunday, but if neither Daizen Maeda nor Lila Bada are fit, yeah, then who's the third party?
Haksabanovic.
Is he fit? He was taken off for Montenegro.
Yeah, I know he was, and then Maeda had his issues, but from the press conference today, I'm pretty sure it was, you know, Abada, Moy, Hatate, they were the ones that were mentioned most. What's the word I'm looking for? Sort of most emphatically by Ange Postecoglou. Oh. I don't think there was. It was actually Forrest, Ralston, Abada, and they were a couple of weeks or a few weeks away, and then Hatate and Moy likely for next week. So it didn't sound like there was any issues over the rest.
Well, if Haksabanovic is fit, then you'd imagine. I know
Maeda may even be then, by the sounds of it. Which you forget, Kenny, don't you? Talk about one or two injuries. There's still a fair cast.
There is. They've got a really strong squad. I mean, we've talked about it so many times on the show, particularly in those wider areas. I mean, James Forrest has become a bit of a forgotten man in that position for everything that he's won and all the goals that he's scored for Celtic. And even when he came in at this season, he goes and bangs a hat-trick in when he comes back into the team. So they've got real strength and depth, and that's why they put a squad together when you're fighting on three fronts, four fronts if you include Europe. That you need a squad that's capable. And what Ange's done, he has put a squad that goes, Haksabanovic, if you think back, came in, and when he came in the team, you thought, this guy's a player, and you thought he would be a more regular starter, but he's found game time a little bit limited of late, so this might be his chance on Sunday.
Davey just tweeted me to say, if Celtic keep up this scoring rate, it'll be 121 goals by the end of the season. I've not had the chance to crunch those numbers. I've no reason to doubt it. I'm sure Davey's a man of fine arithmetic, but that would be outrageous.
Yeah, it would be. I read a quote from the Hibs manager, Lee Johnson, this morning, who was talking about Ange Postecoglou, obviously in the most glowing terms, but said, when does he find out it's actually too easy for him here? So there's a lot of work to be done before Ange Postecoglou can feel that way.
Let's bring in William, who's on the line. How are you, William?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing? Are you okay?
All good. So you, Will?
I'm good. Aye, it was a great week, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was tremendous. I think in the back to Celtic, though, and when Hugh's talking about six going down to 6 points, 9 points, I don't think Celtic have had the chance to take it to 12 points. You know, I think we've heard this quite a lot with Rangers playing first, and they've played quite first. In a psychological way, I think if Celtic had the chance to go 12 points, I think it's harder for the chasing team to keep going. You know, I don't know what the guys think of that, but I just think, I don't know how many times it's been. There's been quite a few times where it's went down to 6 points, and then it's went back up to nine. I like the way Malky Mackay sets his team out. You know, he likes to play football, you know. So I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday. And talking about the injuries there, you know, I think I didn't realise there were so many injuries there that you're talking about. But I think Haksabanovic, if he comes in on that right-hand side, I think he'll do a job with Jota on the left-hand side. You know, I think with Kyogo up front. So I think we'll be okay as far as squad-wise goes. You know, and you're talking about Moy maybe being injured. I don't know if Hatate, you're talking about Hatate. What didn't go? I don't think he didn't go the national team, did he? So I think we're, and Turnbull can come in as well. So as far as the squad goes, I think we're fine. You know, I don't think we should have any problems. You know, I just think that psychological thing of going 12 points ahead instead of us going down to six, I don't think it would be harder on Rangers to keep that going than it would for Celtic to keep it going. They're back up to nine. You know, I don't know what you think of that. You know, that's kind of sort of a psychological way of thinking to keep going. You know, I always think it's hard to chase, you know.
The fact is, if Celtic come away from Dingwall with no damage done, were they to beat Rangers at Celtic Park a week tomorrow, then only a fool would continue to discuss the outcome of the championship as a two-horse race. If Celtic were to win in Dingwall on Sunday and beat Rangers the following weekend, then no one in their right mind would think anything other than Celtic would be the champions.
Kenny, I'm fascinated by William's first point about psychology, and you've obviously been there in all different circumstances. The scheduling has very often, since Michael Beale came in, I haven't quite counted them up, but it's been loads of times, Rangers have played first, they've cut that gap, and Celtic have then restored it at the very next opportunity. I think on paper that would seem like at the outset, that would seem like an advantage to the team that plays first, because you get to add that pressure. Does there become a point where it becomes frustrating or deflating for Rangers, because they've had so many chances to do that, and every single time Celtic respond, do you think they start to feel like, you know, what more can we do, sort of thing?
It does have that type of feeling. Again, I'm going to put the manager head on now and the player head back on as well, and say there's only, you can only control your own results, you know. But what you can do, and William's exactly right, when you've got that chance to play first, you are putting a pressure on. You know, at the moment, it's not a great amount of pressure, because firstly, the form that Celtic are in, they're beating everybody in front of them. Secondly, they've still got a really, really good cushion. You know, but as I always remember, that can be deflating. I remember sitting one night watching, and when that last minute goal goes in, when you think you're maybe going to gain 2 points or go a further 2 points ahead, and that last minute winner goes in, that is a bit of a body blow, particularly if you're chasing, you know. So in that sense, if Rangers win tomorrow, which you expect them to win tomorrow and cut it to 6 points, if Celtic were kind of toiling, then it would be a body blow if they were to get that late goal, or even that late winning goal, late equalising goal. It is a body blow. And that's where the psychology of the Old Firm comes into it. And that's the way it's been for years. That's why you need to be strong, you need to be able to deal with it, and you need to actually be able to perform when that pressure is on.
Because, Hugh, obviously there may still become a time where Celtic don't do that, but they've almost... have they almost earned the right now for people to kind of stop mentioning, oh, you know, Rangers play first and they can cut the gap? I've had a quick look at the fixtures. I don't have time to count them up, but I'm guessing 6-7 times maybe. And please don't hold me to that. I think it's a guess. But since Michael Beale came in, it could even be around then. It could even be more that Rangers have played first. So I've said it so many times, and it never really works out that way on paper in terms of Celtic then stuttering in the next day or whenever it is.
Again, I'd say two things to you, Gordon. The first being, when Ange Postecoglou talks about, now we really want to finish in style, he knows it's down to single figures now, 9 games left to play, and he wants some style in among the tangible achievements that are there for Celtic. So if you get style, albeit in the absence of great players like Hatate and Aaron Moy, then everyone knows, everyone and his or her granny knows, if Celtic beat Rangers at Celtic Park on the 8th of April and are 12 points in front, the league is finished.
01419511025, that is the number you need. Thank you very much to William on the line. You can tweet us as well, you can get in touch whichever way you prefer, and I'll get these to a full time teaser next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. Hugh's getting excited, I must admit. He's delighted about the return of domestic football. We've even got a big game in the Championship tonight. Hugh Keevans are both against Ayr United. And all of a sudden, you should know not to bet against the experienced campaigner in Dick Campbell, but look doomed for some people, and now looking like they could be on the way up.
Well, John Rankin wins a cup for Hamilton Accies last Sunday, and he's now watching to see what happens to Arbroath tonight, because it's Arbroath or the Accies who will be in trouble. So Dick Campbell, never bet against them. Lee Bullens had a terrific season with there, but they are prone on the road to the occasional setback. So that'll be a heck of a game.
Do you remember, if I was to say the name Crazy Pony to you, would that mean anything? The urban legend that sends in all these teasers for everyone. No, I say the full time teasers open to everyone, and they can email and they can send a question and try and catch, you know, the pundits out. But the Crazy Pony loves this, and he sends loads in. Well, he phoned in for Beat the Pundit this week, and I'm thinking, well, this guy's going to be a mastermind, and he lost.
Oh.
So he sort of shattered the illusion. Who was it again? Who did Crazy Pony lose? Mark Wilson, actually. I mean, it wasn't even one of the big hitters. It shattered the illusion a bit, but like every good quizzer, he's not letting it get him down. He's got back on the saddle.
Yeah,
leave lovely. That, leave that sitting a little bit longer. And he sent another one in for you tonight, the full-time teaser. Can you name the last 10 former Celtic or Rangers players to score against them? Okay, so we're looking for the last 10 players who've scored against Celtic or Rangers but used to play for that club.
Kenny Miller.
Yes, it is. I was waiting on him saying that. I didn't think you would sneak in.
He jumped in with the easy one.
Would you know the working on that?
What do you mean by working?
Like who he played for?
He came back up the road from Wolves.
No. I mean, it was more recently than that.
Dundee.
It was Dundee against Rangers.
Oh, I thought. Read that question to me.
So it's a lucky answer he's gave you.
Exactly. <about. laughs> He just looked it's around correct, for. Though. He just looked for anyone in the room, and it was never going to be me. So, right, name the last 10 players to score against Celtic or Rangers, but they've played for that team.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Lafferty.
Apparently not, which I'm surprised about, I must admit. But no,
it was the season before that scored for Dundee, so it must be a lot recently. He scored Hearts free kick, Murrayfield 3-1. Anyway, maybe not.
David Turnbull.
No, because he's at Celtic just now.
Read that question to me. Yeah.
Basically, these players have left Celtic or Rangers,
okay,
and then scored against them.
Right.
Like Kenny Miller, went to Dundee, scored right against Rangers.
Boyd?
Nope.
There's been a lot recently then.
Johnny Hayes.
No. I mean, you're clearly getting the gist of the
Niall
question.
Niall McGinn.
No. Oh, I don't like the silence, I must admit. Yep. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. I mean, there was one this season. Would that tickle your fancy? Against Rangers in a game that they lose or draw. It was certainly a dramatic dropping of points anyway. It was near the end for Giovanni van Bronckhorst. Yeah, they did lose.
Glenn Middleton?
No, but not a bad shout. St Johnston, anyone?
Nicky Clark,
good, right. We're slowly but surely up and running, I think. Kenny Miller and Nicky Clark. You can send your questions in fulltime@clyde1.com. They don't need to be quite as complex as that one or quite as difficult, but there we are. Get them sent in. Let's bring in John, who's in Kilmarnock. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you doing? You
all
right?
All good here, John. What are you thinking tonight?
So what it was, I actually just got in a car there and I was on my way to pick up my wee boy. The last caller was talking about Rangers playing before Celtic and the advantage that may give them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Postecoglou is sitting at training every week and going, Rangers are playing before us. We need to be a bit worried about that. That's piling in the pressure on us. He is only interested in Celtic and how they play football. The way we attack the game, the way we set up, he's only worried about that. Celtic don't really change how they play game to game. So they're only focused on, this is what we do, this is the style of football we play, we'll take care of our own business. It was like Kenny said to the last caller, made the point that you can only take care of your own results. And Postecoglou has put that onto the players, and I think the players have bought into it 100%. We'll take care of your business. Whatever happens, happens. However it falls, but we'll look after ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Every word you say is true. Ange Postecoglou is the most pragmatic man in Scotland, and it's only about how Celtic do in Dingwall on Sunday. He will pay no mind to the Rangers' result or performance or anything about it. He will simply concentrate on getting the 3 points at Dingwall, and then all his attention will be taken up by the game against Rangers at Celtic Park a week tomorrow. He will, you know, the stats back it up, because every time Rangers play first and reduce the gap, Celtic restore the gap to where it was the following day. So it's simply not a factor on Ange Postecoglou's mind.
I think most managers would probably simply try and put that across anyway, Kenny. That, like, kind of what you said there, like, we just focus on ourselves and that sort of stuff. But you do feel like Ange Postecoglou really believes it, you know, wouldn't just be saying it. I can't imagine the calendar ever comes into his thinking, and if it does, he's pretty good at hiding it.
You know, it's actually not about if it comes into his thinking or not, because he's already stated whether they're playing Champions League football, whether he's playing this team or that team, or when that game falls, he is fully focused on Celtic and how they play, how they perform, and his group of players. That's fine. But what is a fact, if there's 1 point in it or 2 points in it and Rangers win first tomorrow and go back top, there's a pressure that comes along with that. Irrespective of whether you're thinking about it or you're not, you know you're now no top of the league and you're going into a different pressure. At the moment, like I said, it's a 9 point gap. So that's 6 points tomorrow, like you've already said, has happened maybe six or seven times under Michael's since Michael Beale came to the club, and every time Celtic respond. And you know what? They'll probably go and respond again on Sunday when Rangers beat Dundee United tomorrow. But when it gets closer, there is the fixture scheduling would be a lot more talked about if this league was closer.
Yeah, John, what are you thinking this weekend then? A couple of injuries, Abada, for instance, Hatate, Moy. Does that add any extra jeopardy, or Celtic comfortable as you usually expect them to be?
Well, I don't want to get myself kind of into that sort of kind of hinky the word, but thinking, oh, it's easy. It doesn't
complacency.
Matter somebody will, complacent. I don't like to get complacent, because you don't want to think, these players are out, but it's all right, we've got players that can come in and do a job. And they can, don't get me wrong, they can, but Dingwall's a tricky place to go. I mean, Rousing in the 97th minute last, kind of saved our season last year. So I err on the sceptical side of things, but I think we will go and do the business. Just look forward to next week, get the result in the bag, down the road, and then all eyes on. On next week,
it would be. Here, there's not a great mystery. There's not a great intrigue about Celtic starting 11, because they've got about 20 odd players who do a job anyway, and you can kind of pick most of it. Like I said, the only can maybe foresee a headline in this, the fact that it might be Iwata's first ever start for Celtic. Do you think that's realistic? Because we mentioned David Turnbull, but I think recent games tell you Iwata tends to come off the bench now first. So again, maybe that would be a headline, a small one, but
I'd be
something
tempted
to look
to go,
at on Sunday.
Yeah, I know that Ange has made Asian football extremely popular, and now we read that the Japan manager's coming over to Europe for a month to inspect everything, because having run down our league a little bit, he's now coming to have a look at it. But I just wonder if Ange might be tempted to go the other way. David Turnbull, you know, he does have that ability to hand you a goal when you most need it. Iwata, we haven't seen enough of him to firm up an opinion on him. But perhaps Ange will go down the Asian route again and play Iwata from the start. But I'd be inclined not to overlook David Turnbull and the goals he has on him.
Yeah, the last game actually skewed things a bit, Kenny, because it was the Hibs game and Iwata wasn't part of the subs. And Hatate went off injured, and therefore it was, you know, Turnbull came on in the 13th minute. He came on early. But I'm looking at, you know, the Hearts game in the cup before that, Iwata came off the bench, Turnbull didn't. The Hearts league game just before that, Iwata came off the bench, Turnbull didn't. The St Mirren game, you know what I'm going to say, same story. And that takes you back to the cup final as well, exact same story. So if you were to look at that sign, that would suggest Iwata would come in and play. But who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, again, I would be the same as you. I think Turnbull has got great qualities. Obviously, we've seen him far longer. You know, we've seen him as a kid come through at Motherwell, and know the abilities he's got. And any time he has came on for Celtic, played for Celtic, he has had goals, he's had assists, he's always seems to be doing something that catches your eye in a game. So again, it would be disappointing for Turnbull's point of view if he doesn't get the nod when there is a couple of injuries in that midfield. Again, might lead him to question actually what future he has at the club.
Everyone says, you know, well, look at him, he doesn't look very happy at the moment, David Turnbull, but he still had an awful lot of game time under Ange Postecoglou this season. It's kind of slipped under the radar. People think he's getting marginalised, but he's had a fair bit of game time.
Oh, there's no doubt. But you can look at that both ways, and I think people keep talking about, you know, his goal contributions per 90 is extremely high. I mean, it's one of the, I think, one of the highest at Celtic. But that run though that I just read out, that must have some sort of weight. You know, that's now a good number of games where not only you're not starting, but another midfielder that's been bought gets the nod to come on at a time when you can make five changes.
Well, as Kenny said there, it'd be interesting to be inside the head of David Turnbull if Iwata plays from the start and he's on the bench.
I mean, what that would look like, Kenny, maybe is the much praised this week Callum McGregor. He move a little bit further forward. You know, we've seen Celtic do that before. If Iwata's meant to be this more defensive type,
I think Callum McGregor will just play the role. Effectively, yeah. But he goes and gets on the ball. He starts things off. He builds the game. He can get forward. He can create. He can score, as we've seen in the past. He's just had to take this kind of more disciplined role. But again, within the Celtic team, there is a real fluidity in that midfield as well. Whereas if McGregor wants to take a venture forward, Hatate's got the presence in mind where he can sit in, or Moyes will sit in and just be that more disciplined one at the base of the midfield. So Callum McGregor will go and just, it doesn't really matter where he plays, he'll go and play his game, and there's no doubt he'll go and be outstanding within it.
Thank you very much. That was John in Kilmarnock. Enjoy your weekend, John. If you can get in touch too on 01419511025. We are just about 7 minutes away from that championship kickoff for both against Ayr, getting to certainly the business end of all the divisions. So we'll look ahead to tomorrow as well. Some big games in there. You Partick Thistle fans making that trip up to Cove. Dundee maybe designs on winning the league, of course, at home to Hamilton. Queen's Park going to Raith, Morton, Inverness. So there's lots to look forward to in the championship as well. It's not always about the top flight. How are you two getting on with this teaser? We're looking for the last 10 former Celtic or Rangers players to score against their old team. So like Nicky Clark, St Johnston player now, scored against Rangers. He's the most recent one. A certain Kenny Miller is also in the last 10. He did it for Dundee against Rangers. What season was that?
2018-19.
Yeah, there you are. So you are very much on the list. Any others?
Barry Mackay?
No.
Jordan Jones?
No.
Well, David Templeton?
Yes.
Poof.
Hamilton?
This is turning out to be a little bit tougher than I thought. So what I'll tell you, if it helps in any way, is that that's the furthest back.
Yep. That was the scene before, 17-18.
It's the furthest back. Yeah. And you mentioned Kyle Lafferty. I think there's a month between them. So
let's just call it 11 then.
So there's the cutoff.
Let's just call it 11.
Listen, you two are having a tough enough time naming
Jamie 10. Jamie Murphy?
No.
I'm just naming every player that's left. They may as well throw Andy Halliday into the equation as well.
Oh, don't be silly. No, I know he's become a bit of a goal machine recently, but he wouldn't score against Rangers, would he?
No.
Come on.
Andy Haldane.
Sean Goss?
Oh, no, doesn't score many, I'm afraid. I'd like to say that he did, but
no. I'm really toiling here. Really toiling.
There's some big names on there, I'll tell you. Some big names. Would you like some more thinking time? Would that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, you still can between now and the end of the show. We're still not done really for Michael Beale. He spoke about so many different topics today. He had his say on that incident that you've now all seen at the end of the women's derby on Monday night. We'll hear those comments and more build up to the weekend next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are tearing their hair out. I mean, Kenny's did his shave for quite some time, so not much to tear, but metaphorically speaking, this teaser is tough, isn't it? But I like it because it's that sort of, I mean, it's doable and you've definitely heard of all these names, but it is tough. The Pony sent it in asking you to name the last 10 players to score against Rangers or Celtic who used to play for that team. So guys like David Templeton did it for Hamilton against Rangers. Kenny Miller himself did it for Dundee against Rangers. Nicky Clark for St Johnstone. Did you get any during the break? I think you did. I saw you working away.
Kenny's got one.
Stephen A. Smith.
For
Hearts.
Yes. Were you playing?
I don't think so. I think I'd left.
Any more? That's four down. Six yep. to get.
Mikey O'Halloran.
Yes. Well done.
St Johnstone. Ball over the tops. Cut back. Smashed it in.
Did Stuart Armstrong do it?
He did not, because he's gone to Southampton and they've never played Celtic.
As far as I can gather.
His pal. Yep. Inseparable
GMS.
Until they had to. Yes.
Gary McKay, Stephen.
Four Hearts against Celtic. Well done.
And I'm out.
Six, four.
I'm
to
out
get.
Here. One, two, three.
Four to
yep.
get. Right, your only other. There's only one more that's done it against Celtic. He wasn't here for very long under Neil Lennon's most recent spell. And it was actually a European game. So that makes it a whole lot more tricky. That opens up a big old market for you. But he was here not for very long. He's gone off to a team in Europe and then came back and scored against Celtic. Okay. And the other ones, all against Rangers and all just kind of experienced names across Scottish football in recent seasons. One was definitely a teammate of yours at Rangers in the... struggling to think of what era. I'll best describe it, if you'll indulge me for 5 minutes, as the Motherwell playoff era. Sorry to do that to you.
Okay. Right.
But anyway, we can get back to it, I'm sure. Let's hear a bit more from Michael Beale. It is not often that you go to a press conference to speak to the Rangers or Celtic men's manager and ask about an apparent headbutt in a meeting of the women's teams earlier that week. It's been that sort of week. And Michael Beale was asked about that today. I did say he spoke about loads of different things. He says he's not actually seen the incident, but believes it's out of character for Craig McPherson.
Yeah, I didn't see it live, and I know that the SFA and Rangers, there's an ongoing discussion around it. All I would say on Craig is it's out of character for him. I think everyone that knows him in Scotland and knows his career and him as a man, it's out of character. And, you know, the SFA, the club and Craig, they're away having discussions about it. No, I've not seen it since either. I've obviously been told about it. I didn't see it, mate. I didn't see it. I personally haven't spoke to him on it. So, listen, I think that's a way with the SFA, and they've cited him, and them discussions are going on. It'd be unfair for me to comment more on that, because I haven't spoke to him in person about it.
I'm afraid whether it's out of character or not, that's not the issue here. It was a shameful incident, and he may very well be the nicest man in the world, but that shamed the game, and it's wrong to ask Michael Beale too much about it, because that's a job for people above Michael Beale at Ibrox. You know, you wouldn't go to Malky Thompson, the manager of the Rangers women's team, and ask him about a Michael Beale related incident. But it's very much a matter for the Ibrox hierarchy, because there is only one word which covers that incident on Monday night: shameful.
That's where being the manager of the men's team, you almost become like this. You're like the club spokesman, aren't you? You know, on the continent, it's a bit more common that like a sporting director or whatever speaks out a lot, and that's where you would direct that sort of stuff. It's almost like Michael Beale. On one hand, he was bound to be asked about it today, but on the other, I get where you're coming from, because it's not up to him. Or
he said himself that the club are in dialogue with the SFA. Now, I don't know what that would involve. There's a hearing on the 13th of April, but it is for the club to respond, not the first team manager of the men's team.
Yeah, like, Kenny, it just depends which lens you look at it through. The SFA will have their say one way or another. I mean, they have initially, but the hearing's not until April 13th. And if Rangers as a club want to say or do anything about it, then we're still waiting. We've had Michael Beale says he didn't see it. I know the way obviously Glasgow works. I was there, and you think, Aye, right, Arsene Wenger sort of scenario. If Michael Beale says he hasn't seen it, I mean, what do you do? You take someone at face value unless you can prove otherwise. And, you know, he says he's been away. And I mean, again, I won't change anyone's mind on this. I'm fully aware of that. Yeah, he did reiterate after the sort of mics and cameras had gone off, he wanted to reiterate that he honestly hadn't seen it. So fine, maybe he hasn't. And
maybe he should have had a look at it, because he was always going to get asked about it, unless you just, like you say, it is, no, he's not in control of it. But you're right, because he is the figurehead of the club.
He's not going to have any influence either way on what happens.
Nothing. Listen, SFA will make a decision on what's going to happen, because like you say, it's unacceptable. It looked horrific. And the SFA will make their call, and listen, there'll be a ban or whatever it is, or more. Who knows?
I don't know what the dialogue can be, you know, because the SFA, through the compliance officer, have issued the notice of complaint. There will be a hearing on the 13th of April. I don't know what you've been talking about at the moment, because, you know, it's like a court case now on the 13th of April, and show up in court on the date.
Yeah, we've not heard the end of that. In fact, Rangers and Celtic women's team will meet again. They'll meet once more before the end of the SWPL season, because the way the split works there, they all go and play each other twice. So that was the first post-split game. So they'll play again relatively soon before the end of the season. So a bit of waiting required on that one. Anything come to you there during the last few minutes on your teaser?
Darren McGregor.
Yes, well done for Hibs against Rangers. Okay.
Ajeti?
No. I see what you're thinking. We'll round it off before the end. Just looking at the Barry Robson, I think we have to give him a mention. He is now, I say, the permanent manager of Aberdeen. He's technically, that is, you know, he's moved up from interim, but it's until the end of the season. Here's what he had to say today, looking ahead to the game at St Johnstone tomorrow.
I don't think there's been any pressure added when you come in. I think the club was in a difficult period when we came in, myself and Steve. So that's quite a lot of pressure, that. I think we dealt with that, steadied ship a wee bit. So, no, it's all right. I don't feel any pressure added on me. I don't feel any pressure lifted on me. We just want to try and win football games, and that's the most important part. There is other things going on at the football club, but the focus is on winning games and winning the next game. And I know you get bored of me telling you that, and I'm sure you get bored of a lot of other managers telling you that, but that is where we are at. And we need to try and achieve that in winning games.
What did you make of Aberdeen's approach to this? It seemed we've had a few examples in recent times of the interim manager comes in for a very short time and then gets the job quite quickly, and it doesn't always work. Aberdeen took a bit longer, thought about it.
Yeah, they did, and I think I like the, you know, like allowing the situation to breathe. They've had someone in the building who has been there a number of years now, knows the players, knows the place, and then he's produced results. You know, things that, three wins in a row they're on. They're on
manager of the month.
They're on the upward curve. You know, they're looking up now rather than being looking down. They look like they're nailed on, obviously, to now make it into the top six. They never had last year, and they'll be. I think knowing Barry, I know him. He'll say everything, and he'll be taking it every game as it comes, and he'll be super professional. But he'll be wanting. He'll have one eye on that third spot. He'll have an eye on the third spot, particularly after the last
4 result. Points. Only 4 points.
And how quickly do things change? We all remember Darvel, El Sacchio, whatever it was getting called, all that stuff at Hibs. At that point, Hugh, you're talking about, right, who can come in and, it's firefighting, it's damage limitation. Can we salvage anything from this season? That was like the mood. Now you're talking about, the cup. You can't take that disaster back.
No.
But Aberdeen could very conceivably kick on and finish third. And then you'll look back on the season. Yeah, you'll remember Darvel to an extent, but you'll think, what was all the fuss about?
Another great part of our weekend, St Johnstone versus Aberdeen. Barry, I'm sure, would want to add to his reputation. And if he does finish third, I think he is a shoo-in for the job.
Is that what makes the combination tomorrow, Kenny, of Aberdeen going to St Johnstone? Their away form's been terrible this season. Did start to show signs of it, winning at Tannadice. And then Kilmarnock's home form's good. Hearts go there on a terrible run. So that, we're in that territory. We called it business end at the top of the show. You're checking all the results and really looking at what's happening round about you.
Yeah, again, just to stick to Barry's line. They will be focusing on them, the same as Hearts. And
I mean,
same
even
as
fans, though, you know, like,
of course, because now it is, it's a moment where everything that's went on this season, you've touched on some of the events through Aberdeen season. They've now got a realistic opportunity. That was a wonderful result 2 weeks ago against Hearts. A convincing 3-0 win against a team who everybody had nailed on for third at the start of the season, and it never really changed even when they had that hard spell. So, big weekend ahead.
Three more players in the last 10 who've scored against Celtic or Rangers but used to play for them. That's what you need.
And I need my partner to weigh in here, because I'm out.
Darren McGregor, David Templeton, Kenny Miller, Nicky Clark, Stephen Naismith, Michael O'Halloran, Gary Mackay, Stephen...
The only one I got was you.
Yeah.
There's two more in there that are of the Kenny Miller school of play on in Scotland until you're nearly 50. One for Kilmarnock.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Kip Broadfoot.
No. Jeez. The other one. Winger. Red haired winger.
Oh, Chris Burke.
Chris Burke, my goodness.
Yeah, Burke.
What about a really experienced striker who was coming to the end of his career when he was at St Johnstone, then went to Hearts for a little spell after that?
Oh, McLean,
Stephen
McLean.
And the Celtic one. It was going to be toughy because you'd such a wide
pool
to choose from.
Fed, is it?
No. All I have to say to you, famous footballing father. Famous politician father.
Oh,
Timothy Weah. Thank you to the guys. We're back tomorrow. Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale, Hugh Keevan's in the studio at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us. Thanks for your calls tonight. GBX up next.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.